Okay, then we need to move quickly. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to July 21st Committee on Rules. I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Memorial 3 and invite Senator Carter to come forward. Ms. Harris, why don't you tell us a little bit about the memorial?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate Memorial 3 urges the President and the Secretary of State to encourage Mexico's President to examine certain issues associated with methamphetamine manufacturing and importation.
Hello.
Hello, Senator Brown. I just had my intern sitting with me. She's a student from Oregon State University and from Morocco. And so I just want to have the feeling of what it is to sit before an august body such as yourselves.
It's still July.
Oh, so I don't have to say that?
It's not an august body yet.
Oh. I should have known to not say anything to shield you guys. Anyway, good afternoon, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Margaret Carter. I serve as Senator from Health District 22 in North Northeast Portland. The measure, Senate Memorial measure before you today, in the gracious word of our colleague, Senator Beyer, is the third piece in a meth package in this session. I call it a telegram from this body to leadership in Washington to work with the states. And that's why I call it a telegram, to control the importation of ingredients for meth into the United States and to encourage an examination of the inordinate production of these ingredients rising in Mexico. It is Oregon whose motto we proclaim as she flies by our own wings, saying, "Do not cut our wings, nor do we want you to clip our feathers." This will not be the first time that Oregon has been unique in terms of its vision, because this is a very modest memorial that says, "Do not undermine the initiative of the states." And it is like us to do this kind of thing, Madam Chair and colleagues. And the hard work of our legislative process this session by the math work group. Our federal system is founded on a balance between Washington and the states. It is a balance of power as imperative as the separation of powers among the legislative, executive, and judicial branch of this state and other states in the country. The amendment before you says, "Don't preempt us." We're saying, "Hey, Uncle Sam, we're a team on this meth problem in terms of the states." And when you look at what is happening in our country, let alone this state, in terms of families, in terms of our young people, in terms of our babies, it is an imperative that the federal government does not preempt us. And I want them to receive this message in the manner in which we are sending us, that we have a problem of methamphetamine in the state and in society. Yesterday, the Oregon House took a step for Oregon to become the first state in the nation to pass legislation to require prescription containing key ingredients to making meth. And I know all of us are concerned about that because the issue of cost containment will face us, and we know that. But at the same time, Oregonians are saying we're willing to deal with that issue once it gets before us. Anything right now to stop destroying our families in terms of the kind of protections that we have put into the legislation before us that was passed on this floor yesterday, it's something that we willingly and knowingly take a step into our direction for tomorrow. We need to fly to the altitude that reaches the needs of our people and the people of Oregon in this message. We need to move mountains so that streams of meth cease to flow. 30 states have enacted legislation that reservoir of ingenuity should not be allowed to dry. We should be joining them. We need every reasonable innovation we can to stop the flow of meth to our children, to families, and upon the street. We need to explore every imaginative idea to stop this poison from flooding our landscape. To close, I want to thank the Judiciary Committee staff and working with my staff, and also to thank Senator Beyer and Senator Burdick in joining as co-sponsors. Like a telegraph, it does not have to belong, but it has to be sent. I ask your support, your adoption of the amendment, and I thank you for your consideration. And, Madam Chair, let me just say I gave all of you a copy of this this journalism that we got that was in Oregonian that talked about key legislators trying to work hard to not have this preemption come about, and that we're hoping that the pharmaceutical industry does not talk our senators into having a very watered-down approach to this, and that they will not preempt states in doing what they're doing, so that we can use most efficiently the resources that we have in the state and use our court system and use our support systems in drug and alcohol across the state, as well as using our residential senators to deal with this this dreaded action that is taking the lives of so many people in our state called methamphetamine. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Questions for Senator Carter?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anybody else wishing to testify on Senate Memorial 3? All right, we'll close the public hearing. Open work session. Senator Farrioli.
Yeah, I would like to move forward.
Oh. We have the dash one amendments, I think.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
The dash one amendments to Senate Memorial 3. Now.
Thank you, Senator Farrioli. Senator Farrioli has moved the dash one amendments to Senate Memorial 3. Any discussion?
For the record, those are summarized in staff notes.
Thank you.
Need clarification.
Any objection to the motion? Hearing seeing none. So ordered. Senator Farrioli.
Madam Chair, move forward Senate Memorial 3 as amended to the floor of the due pass recommendation.
Senator Farrioli has moved Senate Memorial 3 as amended to the Senate floor of the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Thank you very much. Senator Carter, would you like to carry?
I would love to.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Let's open a public hearing on Senate Bill 1098.
Madam Chair.
Senator Farrioli.
May I request consideration of the work session on Senate Bill 1096?
Oh, because
I have a meeting at 1:30.
Sure, but then you need to get Senator Shields back in.
Oh, I can do that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Or we need to get him back in. I didn't mean you need
I'll
to get him back.
I'm going
to
get him.
Okay, we're going to close public hearing on Senate Bill 1098. We're in work session on Senate Bill 1096. Folks, we heard this bill yesterday. I believe there are sets of competing amendments. Does somebody from the county want to come up and walk us through the dash twos? Somebody from Gresham want to come through and walk us through the dash ones?
Good afternoon.
Gina's right behind you. You look like twins. I know.
We didn't plan it. We are friends, but we didn't plan it. Chair Brown, members of the committee, the Dash 2 amendments were brought forward by the cities of Fairview, Troutdale, Wood Village, and Multnomah County, and they are very similar to the original Senate Bill 1096. The only change is, or substantive change, is that they transfer the roads based on center line miles, not on lane miles, and that was discussed in depth at the public hearing on Tuesday.
Thank you. Questions? Senator Shields.
I'm just catching up with all this wonderful stuff. I don't have a dog in the fight, but centerline mile, two-lane road, a lot cheaper, than center line if it's five lanes wide. How do you respond to that?
Chair Brown, Senator Shields, I have heard it described the same way, and I believe there could be a, oftentimes in road transfers or shared revenue agreements, there are combinations of center line and lane mile to appropriately reflect the size of roads and streets that we're talking about. But I have heard, as you characterize it, that a center line does describe two lanes, and lane mile describes all lanes.
I'm asking for your reaction. Excuse me, Mr. Chair.
Please proceed, Mr. Chair.
I'm asking for your reaction to the fact that if it's a four or five lane, as Division Street is in Gresham, it's got to be a lot more expensive to maintain than if it's two lanes wide on another county road in another location. So how do you get past the disparity in the cost by using the center line?
Chair Ferrioli, Senator Shields, what I meant to say, and I must not have been clear, is I do believe center line is based on just the two lanes, and I would say that in any fair and equitable road transfer, some combination to address multiple lane and two lane roads should be in effect. We chose centerline terminology based on what Washington County, Clackamas County, Lane County, the Association of Oregon Counties, what's used by the state. We used the terminology that's customarily used throughout the state.
Okay. Thank you.
And Madam Chair.
Senator Ferrioli.
Normally in a road transfer, isn't there an effort to bring the roads up to standard before the transfer is made, no matter how wide it is or where it runs?
Senator Brown and Senator Ferrioli, I believe that's to be the case. I have never personally worked on a road transfer, so I'm not the best person to answer that question.
Okay, Madam Chair, I'll just make it based on my earlier career as a city councilor, we had negotiated long and hard for road transfers in our city case, and basically a big part of the transfer was the county bringing up the road to municipal standards before the transfer, which was done on centerline miles.
Okay. All right. Any more questions on the dash twos? Okay, let's go back to the dash ones.
Chair Brown, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Ron Papstorf, representing the city of Gresham today. There are two principal differences between the dash one amendments and the dash two amendments. One is the issue of centerline miles versus lane miles as a calculation of the reasonable share of costs that the city is assuming that the county will no longer have responsibility for. The other big difference in the two amendments is that the dash two amendments take out the roughly $8 million county gas tax assessment that's collected countywide, of which Gresham taxpayers pay a share of, from the pot of money in which is being shared. So the dash two amendments only base the revenue sharing on the state shared revenue, which is only a portion of the total county resources for maintaining and operating the transportation system. So that's the second big difference between the two amendments. Again, the reason the city believes that in this case the lane miles is the best way for reflecting the relative cost of maintaining and operating the facilities moving forward, those costs that the county will no longer bear and the costs that the city will be bearing as part of the transfer, is because the majority of the roads that would be subject to this transfer are large multi-lane urban arterials with high levels of traffic, signal infrastructure, sidewalks, landscaping, all those facilities that make those roads more expensive to maintain, and is an equitable share of the total county system that would be transferred to Gresham. In fact, in 1993, in the Oregon Roads Finance Study, that was a collective statewide assessment of the transportation system, lane miles was used as the basis for looking at the relative cost of the facility. So lane miles is not a new concept. It's commonly used, and we believe, as has been reflected in a statewide finance analysis of the transportation system in the state, is the best representation of costs for maintaining various types of roads in the system.
Okay.
We're in work session, Madam Chair.
Yes, we are.
I would move the dash two amendments, Madam Chair.
Senator Farrelly has moved the dash two amendments to Senate Bill 1096, and I appreciate you sticking up for Multnomah County, Senator Farrelly.
Well, Madam Chair, I think I appreciate that. Yeah, it's, you know, building bridges and urban rural cooperation. That's what we're about here.
We're talking about building roads, actually.
Yes, actually, you're answering. Yeah. But, Madam Chair, I say
probably
the most
bridges.
Important two words that I heard today was the cities that are in support of this are Fairview, Troutdale, Multnomah County, and Wood Village.
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Did you need to talk to me? Okay. Would you please call the roll?
Senator Atkinson, Senator Ringo.
No.
Senator Shields.
No.
Vice Chair Farrelly.
Aye.
Chair votes no. Motion fails. And I'm sorry. Chair would move the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 1096. Any further discussion?
Madam Chair.
Senator Ringo.
We've heard lots of discussions about the relative costs involved, but we haven't seen any detailed financial analyses on this, and so I feel like we're somewhat at a loss of detail, but it's late in session and we need to make a decision, so I'm comfortable with that. I would like to think that in a more perfect world we would have some analysis involved, because otherwise we're just we're making somewhat of a guess in this regard.
I'm hopeful that if folks want this measure to pass on the Senate floor, that they will make sure that senators will have detailed financial analyses before they vote on it. So, Senator Shields.
The one thing I know, having served in the House and the Senate in a district that borders on Gresham, is if there is one fight that's older than the fight over the county roads, it's a fight between Gresham and Troutdale, Wood Village, and Fairview. That fight's been going on forever, and it doesn't seem to matter what the subject is. So I, in all my years of being out there and listening to all the arguments, I could never understand why we didn't do this 20 years ago, and I just want to get it done.
Okay. Would you like to add any comments?
I would, Madam Chair. Thank
you
so much. Just two things. I don't believe that anyone would argue that the transfer of roads is not desirable. I think that's very clear that the time's come to resolve that part of this question. The issue before us is whether or not we are going to disregard the testimony of the League of Oregon Cities and the jurisdictions in the area and others who said that the standard that's used in these agreements is lane miles, and really create a precedent now for transferring these road agreements on road miles. It will change, based on this precedent, the way these transfers are negotiated and the way they're thought about and the math that they cost. So I would just say that I think that this sets a bad precedent.
Thank you, Senator Farrelly. I appreciate your comments. As we all know, this is the beginning point for this conversation. So would you please call the roll?
Senator Atkinson. Senator Ringo.
Aye.
Senator Shields.
Aye.
Vice Chair Farrelly.
No.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries.
We have the amendment.
We have the amendment. Chair would move the bill as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Would you please call the roll?
Senator Atkinson, Senator Ringo.
Aye.
Senator Shields.
Aye.
No.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries, and Senator Monis Anderson will be carrying the bill.
And Madam Chair, I beg your leave to excuse myself. It's nothing to do with the proceeding. After
no,
I have a meeting.
You're excused. I understand that. And thank you.
Gotcha.
Appreciate the interesting conversation. All right. Let's open a public hearing on Senate Bill 1098. Many of you may recall that this was House Bill 2174, I think now in a more agreeable and consensus version. Ms. Harris, why don't you tell us a little bit about the underlying measure?
Sure. Thanks, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 1098 is really a comprehensive updating of the statutes that relate to state financial assistance to municipalities for certain types of development projects. There are a couple of changes that are more substantive, one of which is to add two members to the Oregon Economic and Community Development Commission. One of those members would be appointed by the Senate President from the Senate. The other
new member would be appointed from the House by the Speaker. Another one of the substantive changes involved is to amend statutes governing loan contracts between municipalities and the Oregon Economic and Community Development Commission. Those statutes would be amended to provide for 25-year loans. And another more substantive change is that municipalities would be able to formalize loans in accordance with their own local processes rather than by adopting an ordinance with a mandatory public notice provision.
Thank you. Ms. Harris, I have no one signed up for the bill.
Oh.
Is anybody wishing to testify?
We do have some people from the commission.
Okay. All right.
Not the commission.
Must be Mr. Whitney.
Yes.
Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Gary Whitney. I'm the Policy and Program Coordinator for the Economic and Community Development Department, and I'm pleased and appreciate this opportunity to express the department's support for Senate Bill 1098. Primarily, this bill reorganizes and simplifies the Special Public Works Fund statutes. The statutory authorities are largely unchanged, but there are some changes, as were mentioned. The bill also adds the two non-voting members to the commission. If it pleases the commission, I can give you about a 5-minute background on the Special Public Works Fund and why Senate Bill 1098 is sorely needed and some of the high points of the bill.
That'd be great.
Okay.
It doesn't need to be 5 minutes, but a few minutes would be great.
Okay. The Special Public Works Fund marks its 20th anniversary this month, and its primary focus remains job creation and economic development. It's a revolving loan fund. It's currently valued at about $145 million. It's capitalized with lottery bond proceeds, and it provides financing, primarily loans, but also some grants up to about $3 million a year to municipalities, which under this program are Oregon cities, counties, ports, many special districts, and tribal governments. It provides the financing for the purposes of planning, designing, and building municipally owned infrastructure. And municipally owned infrastructure is city and county owned roads, municipally owned water, wastewater, storm drainage systems, port and marine transportation facilities, public buildings, telecommunication facilities, and other facilities essential for economic and community development. During its 20-year life, the program has been revised and expanded. One result of this is that the authorizing statutes are overly long and complex and open to differing interpretations. Senate Bill 1098 greatly clarifies the programmatic requirements and will make my job much easier. Perhaps more importantly, it will make the program easier to use for municipal officials, and will make the program more responsive to the community's needs. It's important to note the department worked very closely with stakeholders, including AOC, LLC, the ports, Special Districts Association, and public and privately owned, investor-owned natural gas and electric utilities in drafting the bill. Some of the key changes can be categorized as streamlining. For example, currently the program has two eligible construction types. We'd like to reduce that to a single construction project. Similarly, the program has two eligible planning and technical assistance type projects. We'd like to reduce that to a single umbrella term. And as Tiffany mentioned, it standardizes loan terms across three of the department programs that are often used in conjunction, again, simplifying the program for the communities that use it. The program statutory authorities are largely unchanged, but some of the changes are that it adds the two non-voting members to the commission, one from the House, one from the Senate. It also adds airport districts to the pool of applicants. Currently, the only airport district in the state is in Coos County. And very, very importantly, it clarifies the authority to fund early stage planning work that may be needed before a specific development or construction project can be identified. Oregon lacks an adequate inventory of developable industrial lands, in part because municipalities face tremendous difficulties in financing early stage planning activities that focus on economic development and job creation. Senate Bill 1098 addresses this need and continues the 20-year tradition of state assistance for Oregon municipalities. I've been asked to read one thing into the record, if I could.
Sure.
We note that subsection 3 of section 6 may need clarifying, and all interested parties, both public and private, local governments, and utilities, agree to address this issue in rulemaking in the same cooperative and collaborative process used to develop the bill. That concludes the department's comments. We'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Do you have any questions?
Madam Chair.
Senator Farrielly.
What did you call me?
I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
Senator Ringo. Ooh, that's really bad.
Hey, Representative Minnis. let's see here.
we're tired up here.
Yeah. I'm fine with the bill. I think it makes sense. I just the bill says relating to developing industrial lands, and I'm wondering, does everything fit into that? The airports and all that.
You know, the airport districts often have the transportation that will attract a certain type of industry to a municipal industrial park. It might be a little bit outside the norm because, the bread and butter project of this program is a municipality that wants to develop an industrial park, and it comes through the program for financing the road and the city services to extend into that area.
Yeah. And, Senator Ringo, since Legislative Council drafted it, I assume that the contents of the bill fit within the relating clause.
I
know we're not supposed to make assumptions, but...
Yeah, I often assume lawyers don't make mistakes also.
Charlie, Senator Ringo, as you know, lawyers are like real people.
Okay.
So
I'm fine with it.
Thank you for that clarification.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us. Unless there's any further questions, I think you're off the hook.
I wouldn't know.
Anybody else wishing to testify? Okay, speak now or forever hold your peace. All right, we're going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 1098, open a work session on Senate Bill 1098.
Yay.
Senator Shields has moved Senate Bill 1098 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Would you like to carry, Senator Shields?
That's the first nonverbal movement I've ever done.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
We're going to be wrapping you up. Well, we've been playing a little bit of afternoon. I need to go. What time?